Hi there, God bless you.
Hello
there, and happy new year. It's time to draw near. This is Apostle Murphy, your host of Dr. Keeping It Real. And that is exactly what I'm going to do here today for my sisters. So tune into this message. Does this song give you some keys to what you need to be doing, and that is drawing near? It's a very short song. God bless you for joining us, and happy holidays to you. Yes, God. Lord, we got to draw near. Yes, Daddy. That's what he's speaking to your spirit today. Yeah, with all the silent pain, all the emotional distress, he just wants you to draw near. Listen to what she says. This is for you. We're drawn towards you, Daddy. Captivated. I know I am. See, that's we got to get our eyes and our heart fixed in the right place. Yes, God. All the beauty and the splendor of Him. Arevos, Sunday. Yes, God. Oh, we're consumed. That's what we got to be. We got to be consumed. We're consumed without Him. Thank you, my Daddy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. As we gaze, yes, God, as we gaze upon Your presence, we just want to give You glory today. Father, I thank You for that one that has joined us on this particular show today as we talk about these matters that are really overtaking not just our sisters, our brothers, too. So I'm excited to talk about, can you hear me now? You know, there's a whole lot of women have lost their lives, a whole lot of young girls who are dating. You know, we're not going to be gender here, but I do want to make sure that we know that the majority of those have lost their lives as a result of domestic violence for those that are recorded, because we got a whole bunch of them that are not recorded, especially in the household of faith. But those women, those young girls who have died, we see it every day. My God, help us all. You know, saying, can you hear me now? I'm going to church. Can you hear me now? Ah, Sandrilo, can you hear me? The silent wounds. My God, help us all today. So I'm excited to introduce my guest, but as I sent you the information, I know you saw that I was talking about, you know, the need to know that the silent pain, the fear, the shame, these are very self-destructive. You know, I've been there, and we'll share a little bit of that in just a few moments. But I want to give my guest an opportunity to come on and make sure I got her on the air. Minister Rochelle Johnson Smith, are you there? Let me see if I have to get her live. Are you there, Minister? Are you there?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, when I first met you, I knew God was doing something very special in you. But then when I got an opportunity to see who you was connected with, for such a time as this and the type of ministry with a minister, I call her a woman of power, Minister Lisa Jones, and she's a founding director of Survivors with Voices Foundation. And then, you know, I knew at some point, I think I was introduced to you, and then even her in relations to coming on my show through, I think it was Minister, I think her last name is Washington, Marcelina. And it's just something else. But anyway, I'm just excited to be a part of the event that you all are going to have as me as your speaker on that day, to, you know, share what God is doing in this last day, to let the women know we've got to not just break the cycle. You know, you can break some things and they can be put back together. You know, we don't want to break no more. We want to destroy in the name of Jesus. We got to destroy the cycles that's keeping us in the old places, you know, and going back. And I'll share that a little bit. But tell a little bit about you, because I do not have it on the screen. I'm on a different computer. I do not have it up on the screen. I do know that you're the Houston chapter president, and you have already prepared to author your book. So share about that and what the foundation is doing and how God has blessed you for such a time as this to be this woman of power that you are.
Thank you, woman of God, for having me on. First, let me say that it took a long time for me to realize that my purpose was going to be birthed after I resolved the pain that I endured. I encountered sexual molestation at the hands of my biological father. That was the one thing that to the core of my existence. And then shortly after thinking I overcame that, I encountered sexual assault at the hands of my son's dad after my son was born. And
yes,
what propelled me into really finding healing was I'm a youth counselor, and one of my clients sexually assaulted me. So that was the third incident. And that led me into counseling. And when I sought counseling, I started really healing. And I started with Survival with Voices as something to continue my healing process, because I knew that it wasn't over just because I decided to forgive and release. And
yes,
so with Survival with Voices, we have monthly meetings to help survivors and continue their process of healing, which is definitely a blessing, because we have people come together and we confined in a room, and we build sisterhood and just share our different mercies and how to continue that process.
And so in part of my
walk, I decided to, women and men I've encountered, and God has placed people in my life to minister my story and share how I overcame and share the grace. And it's not a process that happens overnight. It takes a lot of work, and it can be done. And so in my book, that's what I'm going to be discussing, some of the different areas and putting a tissue on the bleeding, and how you have to do that, and the things that you have to do. And the name of my book is Truth. And the reason why it's Truth is because it's discussing what happens behind the scenes. And Truth stands for Rough Underlying Trials of My Healing. And I can't wait for it to be on the bookshelves. But in the process, I'm doing whatever I can to shed light on healing.
You know, this is so awesome, you know, for you to become so candid to talk about such a sensitive subject, you know, especially because it was your biological father. You know, we have a lot of women who are suffering silently, saying, Lord, help me, you know, can somebody hear me cry? Can someone even imagine to come by and, you know, think about what I'm going through? We're going to jump into our conversation. I want to commend you for your strength, and God has anointed you to do this book for such a time as this, because we have a lot of silent situations that are going on even as we speak, that are being women being incested and violated by their own peers, excuse me, right in the church. And then not just that, I mean, their own daddies and uncles and so on. You know, but we're in time right now. Let me tell you something. I already know we're on target, because it looks like whenever I'm fixing to get ready to do something on deliverance and healing, I start coughing and sneezing. The devil won't stop me up where I can't hold. This is totally crazy. But God, we still going on.
Yes.
I hang up, it's going to go away. Just stupid stuff. I don't know why he tried. He already see I ain't stopped yet. So you might want to you know what I'm saying? But anyway, wanted to share about the event briefly so you all get a pen. Those who just tuned in, thank you for joining us. I'm talking now to Minister Rochelle Johnson-Smith, who is the Houston chapter of the Voices. I'm sorry, am I saying this right? It is the Survivors with Voices Foundation. And I want to make sure that you all get an opportunity to go ahead and tell your sister to take her lunch break right now. If you're there with her, or, you know, if you ride in Texas and say, you need to get on this call. Because we should talk a few minutes recently about, you know, why these rippling cycles keep coming back. And, you know, for some reason, every time you get married, don't look like it's going to work out. Or, you know, for some reason that, you know, you want to date, but you, like, forget it all. I might as well go on and be a lesbian. You know, whatever that is. But we need to talk about, you know, why am I here? You know, what's causing me to draw back this way and keep visiting this same old hell? And so I want to jump right in and share where it's at. It's going to be at the, we're talking about the Survivors with Voices Foundation. They're having their meeting there on Cypress Creek Christian. It's going to be held at Cypress Creek Christian Community Center, and it's located at 6823 Cypress Wood Drive. If you go to my Facebook page and or Minister Rochelle Johnson Smith's Facebook page, you can find that, or on the events page, you can find that announcement there. But write it down, 6823 Cypress Wood Drive, share the link. It's going to be held there at the Cypress Creek Christian Community Center, and it's going to start at 11:30 a.m. And we will be there. Bring a sister, you know, or encourage somebody to come. One thing I don't like to do is be in a whole bunch of services and nothing happened. There's nothing happening. I just left still the same way I came, or, you know, I got a lot of information and nothing happened in my soul. Lord, help us today. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18:14, it says that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? And so we've got to know that it is God's desire. So if you're listening in, he wants to restore you. He wants to get you in recovery so that you can go forth and know the name of Jesus. And so text them, tell them to get on here, share the link. If they can't dial in, let them click on the link. But back to our conversation, as I was saying about the foundation, I really, really want people to know that on this call today, as we talk about the cycle of it, we need to know that, I don't know about you, but as you said about your dad, my issue was my brother. And a lot of times when we evaluate it, especially about those up close and personal, it is very difficult because there's a lot of fear attached to this thing, lots of fear. And when the fear is there, we tend to not want to, rock the boat or be the outcast or whatever, because we're trying our best to, you know, with the old folks' time, they want to try to keep the family together. But it's too late for that, you know. No, we got too many rippling effects of incest and violation of, you know, rape and these babies and everything else, and these girls are dying because of violence. And so when you were going through, did you have that level of fear that you couldn't, or you was told that you better not?
Oh, I had tremendous fear. My dad, not only did he, in the process, he would manipulate me, and it was a lot of mental, and it was things like, well, if you say anything, you know that your sisters and brothers won't be able to get this. And it was all, he used his financial as his stronghold. And for me being the place that I was in my family, I wanted to protect them. And my mom wasn't working, and he provided for us. And so it was always the threat that if you say something, one, nobody's going to believe you. Two, you know, everybody knows what I am in the community. And he comes from a very affluent family. So I had no idea to even about saying anything. And I would know, and what bothers me most now that I think about it, I was so isolated. I can't believe that nobody realized what was going on, because I have always been the bubbly, upbeat person. So for me to go into a shell, I was scared to talk about it, and I actually never really talked about it. And how it came out was me sharing with my son's dad.
Yes. You know, the Bible, it really constantly tells us that it is not his desire that we be in this shape. It's not his desire that we believe the devil and not him. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms 30:2, it says, oh, my God, my Lord, I call to you for help, and you heal me. You know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may be in a meeting, but the power of God will be in the midst for those who come expecting. And he also said in Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore your health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Why? Because we were called the outcast, and now he's ready to do something major. So we're encouraging you to come out on Saturday tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. at the Cypress Creek Christian Community Center. And it's going to start, it's located at 6823 Cypress Wood Drive. That's Spring, Texas. So that's right off of 45 on Cypress Wood Drive. And it's 77379 is the zip code. You know, with my situation with my brother, one of the hardest things that I was able to do is try to endure the rejection of the truth. You know, and I know a lot of the women that may be listening in may have been violated and may have had some situations where the rejection had caused them so much deep pain that they shut down and they carried this thing for a number of years. But we've got to look at the source. We got to look at the root of the matter that's causing the emotional distress. We got to look at the expectations and the habits and the things that have caused these wounds to get more, how to say, more roots. And you've got to look at your expectation and exactly where is it. Are you just expecting to go on and let it go? Well, really, we can't go on and let it go, because this is why a lot of women are, you know, rippling in and out of relationships. They can't keep a man, so to speak. They can't stay married without a whole bunch of hell and fear of being what they call betrayed or what have you, or cheated on, because you've been hurt so bad, you know, by men. And we won't leave out women who have been raped. Many of them have decided that they want to be a lesbian. Now, I'll tell that story real quickly, and I'll jump back over here to you. I remember when I was going through, and I mean, I had just gotten a relationship I thought would be the one. I'm not talking about the one that tried to kill me when I was 18. For those who don't know the story, my children's father took a 12-gauge shotgun and blew out my face at close range at age 18. Just a complete miracle to be alive and talking to you in my right mind today. But back then, when I was going through dating, you know, in and out, and I know I'm talking to somebody, I just wanted this guy to stay with me, because I figured with this disfigured face, ain't nobody going to want me. But God, I met this guy. I thought he was going to be fine and everything's going to be okay. And he was very insecure and very jealous. So one night we went to a club, and I guess he was mad because you know how we go in and out. I would tell him, we through. Don't call me. Don't come back over here no more. We through. Well, he wooed me in and got back with me, took me to this club. And then on the way back home, he started going down this dark road. And I said, where you going? He said, you'll see. He took me down this dark road. It was nothing but bushes and trees, just in a dark place. I got real scared. I didn't know what to think. I thought maybe he was going to nick there, you know, going to have, they call it nicking or whatever, a kiss or whatever there in the car. He got outside the car. He pulled me out the car. He said, stand here. Come on out. Get out. And he got me out. And that guy must have beat me. He beat me to a little bloody. He beat me. I had black eyes and bruises. And he kicked me. He did everything. It was God that I didn't lose my mind, where he was kicking me out of my head and my chest and everything. He just kicked me. Well, he beat me really bad, and then he got me back in the car, and he called me all kind of names and told me, now, you take that. Don't you ever tell me that we're through. I'll tell you when we're through. So then he took me on back home, and all that night I cried, and then I had this dream or this presence that entered the room all of a sudden. This happened the next day while I was in the bed with the blinds closed, and I had this visitation from hell, and it was a spirit of lesbianism. It came in and it said, why you won't be with men anyway? You know they're not really going to accept you for your face. You need to start liking women. You need to start dating women. Forget these men. Oh, I know I'm helping somebody today. And so after that happened, immediately I jumped up. So I talked about this in one of my books, and I went, you know, at first I considered it in my mind. And I went, oh, no, the devil is a lie. I jumped up. I was kind of carnal back then, because I was still going to clubs, smoking dope, and going to church, singing in the choir. I know I'm talking to somebody. And so then I jumped up, and I dialed on the phone, and I said, I'm calling the old flame. You can come get it, and it is free today, because I know I'm talking to a whole bunch of you past at-home prostitutes, because that's what I was, at-home prostitute, where you just lay the money on there, you better give me that light bill money, whatever, and then I'll give you some. Well, this is exactly what I did. I called somebody, I said, because I had to break this thing as far as I'm concerned. I'm trying to break this lesbian feeling from me, so I didn't get with me a man. And it did leave, but tell me, in your did you ever go there in your mind that you're just definitely not going to be with no men? Thank God. I still love men. Let's keep that straight. I love men, and I am a full woman of power.
Well. I actually dated women for over 5 years. And it's amazing that you just said that, because I never shared that with you, but I was in several lesbian relationships.
But God.
Oh, yeah, but God. Because I tried dating, I never went through being promiscuous with men, because of the touch, and there were so many things that reminded me of the molestation, and
right.
I just couldn't. And I was with a guy that resembled my dad in so many ways, and in that relationship with that particular man is what opened up the box for me having a sexual encounter with a woman, because that's something that he invited in. And
right.
When I experienced that, my soul felt at ease, because it wasn't
right.
A man touching me. So, yes, I was in that lifestyle at least 5 years.
Yes. Well, I thank God I never went there. God bless God that we're all a work in progress. And I want to make sure that people know that they get an opportunity. If you can't come, send your teenage daughter. You know, because a bunch of these girls are in violence, and their parents don't even know it. They're getting all these expensive gifts. They're getting beat down, because that's what I was going through. He was buying me all these gifts, and I bounced right back. I'm talking about the one who tried to kill me. I bounced right back. You know, he beat me up, and I bounced right back and go right back to it. And so we need to know that you can't make it yourself, parent, and you have a teenage daughter. You know, we'll be talking pretty candid and real there. So make sure that they can come according to the rating of the conversations. But we do believe that these kids today, these young girls, they know a whole lot more than we know. But we need to look at the dangerous emotions. You know, loneliness is a factor. You know, being talked down is a factor. You know, and looking at all the different peaks in marriages, you know, after a while, you know, he ain't doing it the way you feel. It should feel like you should be feeling the same way. The men don't think you feel right no more, so they want somebody different. You know, then these women who become mothers, you know, they become mothers to these guys, you know, and they can't be the lover. They want to be the mother. You know, that's that Jezebel spirit. But we got to really, really look at some ways to begin to examine ourselves about these silent wounds, as Rochelle just said, Minister Rochelle. You know, these secret things. And I bless God that even though she candidly said that, you don't want to miss tomorrow, because there's so many other things that's going to be introduced there as it relates to, you know, the stresses that's caused us to continue to, I call it, love on the unresolved mess. You know, you got to let it go. You got to tell hell to go. You know, it's caused our systems to get sick emotionally. And we're in a dangerous state when we allow these things to continue in our lives, because we want to try to act like, you know, if I don't have him, if I don't have her, something is not going to be fulfilled in my life, that you feel empty. But what God is trying to do is ring your bell and let you know you're empty anyway without him. You empty, period. You got to love the Lord more than anything and anybody. And then he will give you that Boaz. And then he will give you that wonderful woman like Sarah. It is the hour that we have got to prepare to break the old ties, break these things that have caused us, and then after you got into a presence like we're going to be doing on Saturday, to break it. That means now I'm fixed to shatter it. And when I shatter it, now I'm fixed to get in position so that I can destroy it. Because you could come to the meeting and you can break some things, but we're talking about destroying it. We're talking about destroy is another word for deliverance. You've got to be delivered completely. And can that happen within that few hours that you're there? Oh, yes, because Jesus is in charge. He can do anything in any way he wants to. Some people have to process when some people is so desperate, and that's what you need to come like, desperate. Desperate like the one with the issue of blood. You're so desperate that you come in there just want to hear God, and you ain't trying to hear Sandy. You're trying to hear God in the midst of this Survivors of Voices Foundation event. Go ahead, Minister Rochelle, what you wanted to say.
I was just going to say, and you just said it, once I got to the point that killing myself, everything that I was doing from the clubs, the drinking, the partying, engaging in lesbianism relationships, the everything I did, it just became a dark cloud. And I had to come naked and bold before God, and I asked him, empty me of me. I want more of you, and I surrendered. And that's when all the healing came, and that's why I really thank God for being with me the whole time, because I tell a lot of people I'm not supposed to be here because yes. I did. If you name it, I did it. And I thank God for my husband, because when I met him, I said, wait a minute, I was once broken. I've done this, that, and the other, but I'm healed. And,
just,
you know, sharing my story with him, he opened his arms. And he because dating before then, when you would tell a man, oh, I used to be engaged with women. Oh, well, when are we going to have a threesome? When are we going to do this and when are we going to do that? Constantly doing things or trying to invite bondage back into your life. But I became real with myself, and I accepted God, and I realized what I supposed to be doing for him and everything that I went through. And he was just stretching me so I can evangelize to other women and share with that mother that's concerned about her daughter, that all of a sudden she's dressing like a boy. Okay, well, let's get to the root of that thing, because that just don't happen overnight.
Amen. You know, and a lot of times, you know, people, somehow they say sometimes love hurts so good. But what it is that a lot of the women, we're going to talk about that, you know, in relation to the soul ties, a lot of the women that are even married, that is on this call, that are still hooked up with the same old fleeing flame of feeling, and so they don't know how to let go and let God as it relates to those beloved that hurt so good. And that was one of the reasons why I did not leave my children's father who tried to kill me, is that that love making hurt so good. That soul tie of the love making that a whole lot of women don't want to admit. You know, that sex, you can't dare, you know, to even think of somebody in the bed with them. But this is some of the things that we've got to look at, these emotional triggers that's causing us to be in places that's nearly killing us, emotionally and physically. And so these thoughts of being without your children and all that, and, you know, maybe going through, you know, divorce or whatever, I think you need to be getting before God in this meeting. I think you should be looking at what's causing these emotional triggers to pull you down into these places that's making you feel empty, making you feel that there's no way out. And God wants to deliver you right away. We've got 4 minutes, and I want to share this particular message to you all that are listening to me right now in regards to what God is trying to say to you. Many of you have lost your identity in regards to where you are, and that identity has been made up with clothes, makeup, trying to lose weight, the whole nine, trying to, you know, put things on that maybe people can see you or make some statement across Facebook, they can see you've moved on from that bad relationship. But I'm telling you right now, you got to let go and you got to let God. So you got to see that all these circles that you are participating in, many of them God is trying to cut off from you. Because, see, these new places that you're going to be going to, they can't go with you. And so you've got to know that God wants to do something new. He wants to fill you up in a different way so that all that weight you gain, you know, all that emotional eating, all these things that we've allowed ourselves to get connected to and sharing all our business with those that we think is our sister, girlfriend, and they're telling everybody. I'm telling you right now, this is the hour that we have got to separate and prepare to say to the Lord, Lord, can you hear me now? I surrender. I remember when I was on the floor, when I had carried and speaking internationally, telling everybody, you know, internationally, I've forgiven my husband that tried to kill me. And actually, just to mention his name made me want to throw up. But I wanted to be important. I know I'm talking to somebody. I wanted to be out there so people can see that I'm moving on, even with this space. But I'm telling you right now, many of you who are faking and shaking it, you need to cry out to the Lord when you meet us there on tomorrow at 11:30. Can you hear me now, Jesus, about the silent wounds? And so I want to leave this message with you while I let her close out in just a minute. I want to share this message that her name is Colin McCarty wrote. She says, sometimes the paths we take are long and they're hard, but always remember those hard paths are the ones that lead to most beautiful views. And that means along the way, by and by, it may look ugly, but God is going to get you to the fullness of his glory. I don't care how ugly it is. You heard Minister Rochelle tell about something ugly that she had never said, but she said it on this show. So just imagine what you're going to hear there. And some places are not safe, but we're going to do our very best to make a safe place for you there at this meeting of the Voices with, Survivors with Voices Foundation meeting on tomorrow. Go ahead and give them again the directives of getting there and what they can expect, if there's any registration or anything like that. You want to share that now?
Yes, if you go to my Facebook page, Rochelle Johnson Smith, I will also be adding an e-vite link there. But also I just put the address and everything boldly on top of the invite picture. And you can also join the link on Survivable Voices link, and we update that with anything that we have. And you join a sisterhood, so we connect. We're going to exchange information on tomorrow. And as you said, Dr. Murphy, you won't leave there empty. Nobody that ever comes leaves there empty. And I just want to inspire everyone to don't comfort yourself in your afflictions. Move forward and rely on 2 Corinthians 1:3. That's what kept me whole and kept me sane, because when you're going through, even when you feel like you can't, just rely on those words, that because God will come for you and all your needs.
Amen. Well, it's telling me I got 36 seconds, so if it cuts out, y'all hang up, but usually gives me at least 3 minutes. So I'm just saying to you all, for those who are really seeking God, who really, really want to begin the new year being filled, making a decision that you want to be whole, making a decision that you're willing to let everything go for our Daddy God, and making a decision that it doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter what people are trying to say about you, because now you don't want to go to the club no more. You don't want to keep having sex outside of marriage. You don't want to do it no more. So that's what I did. I said, Lord, 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 I pray that you can hear me now. Are you there, Minister Rochelle?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, well, then they give me these couple of minutes to end the service. But I'm praying that those that are hearing me under the sound of my voice, you no longer have to be afraid. You no longer have to have the shame to hover you day and night. You no longer have to go to bed with these things. It's up to you. And I don't claim to be Jesus. What I do claim to be is an ambassador of him. But I believe that he will move mightily in me on tomorrow, so I'm expecting you to be there. I'll be signing some of my books as well. And one of the ones I highly recommend is that one, so Freedom for Souls Tied to Devil Dream Lovers. You know, and, you know, demons are on assignment, who's covering you, most important. We love you, and I thank you, Minister Rochelle, for joining me, and I pray that you always share this link with someone so that they can know that God does hear you. He's already heard you, and it's up to you to let us help you process so that you can recognize it, recover, and be revived from it. Thank you, Minister. We will see you then on tomorrow. God bless you. Expect to see you all there. See you later.
Yes.
God bless you. Bye-bye.